Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Man, I've got this word burning in my spirit tonight, and I want to release it over you. And I guess the title of my message is Learning to Love. Learning to love. Are you learning to love? And I want to open up John chapter 13 to you. So why don't we open our scriptures to John chapter 13, the love gospel. John chapter 13. You know, this whole passage of scripture has been burning in my heart these last few weeks, and we're gonna look at it. But you know, I've been thinking about how the spiritual journey that we're all on is actually a spiritual journey of love. I don't know about you, but I encountered the love of God in such a tangible way when I was 19 years old. It was the love of God that saved me. It was understanding how much God loved me that made my life totally be transformed and changed. This is the power of the gospel. God is love, amen? And we are created to experience love, to become love, and to give love away. That's our mandate on the planet. You know, let me tell you a story. When I was 19 years old, and I'd just gotten saved, and I had this radical encounter with the Lord, and long story short, in my teenage years, I was a drug addict. And I had this encounter with God, and I realized how much He loved me and how much He'd forgiven me. And I just wanted to love Him back. I'm like, God, I want to love You back. What? Why am I on the planet for? What's the whole reason that I'm on the planet? Because You've saved me, You've healed me, You've set me free from sin and drug addiction. What's the purpose? Why am I here? And I remember going on a fast. And I was fasting and praying. I'm going, God, why am I here? And I read the last chapter of John where Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? And I'm like, yeah, that's like me. Yes, yes, I do love you, Lord. And Peter said, yes, I do. And Jesus said, well, feed my sheep. And then Jesus asked Peter a second time, do you love me? And I'm like, yes, 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 Lord, I love you. And Peter said, yep. Yeah, I love you, Lord. And Jesus said, well, feed my lambs. And then a third time, Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? Peter said, of course I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. So I'm reading this scripture. I'm going on this fast and I'm reading the scripture. I'm like, yes, I love you. Why am I here, Lord? What's the purpose of my life on the planet? I love you. I want to serve you. I want to give you my everything, my whole life. And I went to church that morning and a little old lady came up to me and said, Steve, I've got a word for you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I'm like, whoa, okay. And I got my place and sitting down, and just before the service started, another woman came up to me and said, hey, Steve, I've got a word for you. Jesus says, feed my lambs. I'm like, wow, okay, something's going on here. God, I think You're speaking to me. And a third person came up to me and said, Steve, I've got a word for you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. And I'm like, I still didn't get it. And I'm like, God, I think You're speaking to me. What are You saying? And the service started, the worship started, the preacher gets up and starts preaching. And then in the middle of the sermon, he pulls me out. He says, Steve, stand up. I'm like, okay. And he goes, the Lord has called you to be a pastor. One day you're going to be a pastor and you're going to be a shepherd of God's sheep. And I'm like, yes, now I know what I'm on the planet for. But my whole attitude was, Lord, I love You. I want to serve You. My heart was totally motivated by love. And I went back after that service, that sermon, and I went back and I was a mechanic back there. I was an apprentice mechanic and I started working on cars and serving in the church. And 20 years later, I planted a church, became a senior pastor. But I say all of that to ask you a question. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Him? tonight. You know, this is the highest mandate and goal of our lives is loving Jesus. Loving Jesus. Did you learn to love? I remember hearing this story about this guy by the name of Bob Jones. Who's heard of Bob Jones? He was a prophet. Yeah, he's a prophet in the 80s and 90s, and he passed away a number of years ago, but incredible man of God. And actually, it was in 2009 he passed away. And he actually died in hospital, and he went to heaven. And he saw Jesus, and he saw all of these people lining up to get into heaven. And Jesus was asking them one question. And the question was, did you learn to love? And he came to Bob Jones and he said, Bob, did you learn to love? And Bob says, I think so. And Jesus said, not yet. And he sent him back to earth. And then he lived for another 5 years. And I remember him telling that story, and it really, really impacted me. You know, Jesus didn't say, hey, what did you achieve? What did you do on the planet? You know, what are the things that you achieved or you did? Or he said, did you learn to love? I think this is our mandate as believers, is are we learning to love? Love one another, love our city, love our neighbours as ourselves. And I feel this is what God wants to highlight to us tonight. Are we learning to love? Are we learning to love the people around us? Are we learning to love our annoying friends, our annoying uncles, our annoying family members? Are we learning to love? So chapter 13 of John, let's look at this scripture. This scripture's been burning in my heart these last few weeks, and I want to read to you. It's the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Let's read it. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he began to pour water in a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. This is an amazing portion of scripture. I mean, in John chapter 13, Jesus was about to depart. He knew what was coming up. These last few chapters of John were his most intimate discussions and teachings to his disciples. He knew that his end was coming. He knew that the betrayal was going to come. He knew that the cross was around the corner. It was his last moments with his disciples, and he wanted to demonstrate his love to them. He wanted to share with him his heart and what this was all about. It was his final discourse to his disciples, his final words. He's about to go on the cross. So he knew what was coming. He was about to complete his mission on the planet. And it says here, having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them to the end. I don't know about you, but I want to be known by someone who loves well and who loves right to the end. I want to say at the end of my life, I'm more in love with Jesus than I was at the beginning. I want to say at the end of my life, I'm more in love with people than I was at the beginning. This is what Jesus, his example is to us. They call this the miracle of humility. The King of the universe would stoop down and wash the disciples' smelly, stinking feet. You know, this kingdom is an upside down kingdom, isn't it? It's a total upside down kingdom. They thought he was coming as the earthly king that will rescue them. They were thinking naturally, but Jesus came to serve, to be a servant of all. I love Matthew chapter 20, 25, where, you know, Jesus, the disciples were arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And the story there is of the sons of Zebedee. These were, these were powerful disciples. They were strong disciples. They were bold. They were brash. And they were arguing about who was going to be the best. But then their mum comes to Jesus. In Matthew 25, I love this. Actually, let's have a look at this. Matthew 20, actually, verse 20. Says the mother of the sons of Zebedee. These were sons of thunder. So these were strong, powerful disciples. And their mum, they were scared of no one except their mum. That's a little bit like me. I mean, I've got a fairly large family, as some of you know, but one of my brothers, Sam, we're pretty close, and when we get together, we're so bold and brash, and we're always competing against each other. I mean, he's an amazing speaker, actually. He's got this whole company, Speakers Institute, and he travels around the world and stuff. And both of us, we're scared of nothing except our mum. Scared of my mum. She's an Indian, right? So she's an Indian mum. So, you know, a little bit nervous. I mean, she's passed now, but when she was alive, I was scared of no one on the planet except my mum. It's like, you know, the mother of these sons of Zebedee, they came up to Jesus and they said, hey, Jesus, can my two sons sit beside you? Sit by your side? And the other disciples, verse 24, said, when the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. They were like, oh my gosh, that's shocking. They were thinking the same thing. They wanted to be, you know, they wanted to be up there with Jesus beside him. But then Jesus, his response was, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them and their great ones exercise authority over them. But he said, it's not so among you. Whoever wants to be great must be your servant. And whoever will be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. This is this kingdom that we're a part of. This upside down kingdom where we're serving others. It's not about our title. It's not about climbing the ladder of success. It's actually about going lower. Jesus sets us this beautiful, true example of servanthood by washing the disciples' feet. By washing their feet. And I love this. You know, when you wash someone's feet, you understand why they walk the way they do. In other words, when you spend time with a person, when you get to know them, when you understand, hey, where's this behavior coming from? You understand why they walk the way they do. Because a lot of the times, I mean, I love meeting up with people. I love pastoring people. I love counseling and mentoring people. But, you know, the behavior is not the issue. The issue is never the issue. There's always stuff behind it. There's always some hurt or trauma or family of origin stuff behind it. And it's when you take the time to wash someone's feet, you understand why they walk the way they do. This is true servant leadership that Jesus demonstrated to us. He sets an example for us to serve one another with humility, with humbleness. You know, so often, like I said, when we meet people and we see behavior and we think, why are they acting the way they do? And we sort of judge the outward appearance. But when you spend time with a person and you take the time to listen to their story, everybody has a story. Everybody has a reason that they're acting the way they do. And this is part of the discipleship journey that we're all on, that God allows us to go on, this discipleship journey. Maybe it's past church hurt or family trauma or family of origin stuff. We've got to take the time to sit down and serve each other and love each other. That's so important. to take that time to ask the right questions. So Jesus here is not, he's teaching about humility. He's also setting us an example of what servanthood really is. Servanthood is loving others. It's actually loving others. It's spending time with others. It's understanding your true identity as a child of God, absolutely and completely loved without conditions, and then loving and serving others. You know, Jesus demonstrated this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. It says this, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave, was born as a human being. He appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Though he was God, he didn't grasp his identity as God." You know, when you become born again, when you become a Christian, you become a child of God. And it's like, wow, I'm a child of God. I'm born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God that lives and abides forever. You realize you're saved. You realize you're forgiven. You realize you're royalty. You become royalty. You get baptized. You become a part of the family of God. And it's like, look out. You're royalty. But I love this. This same attitude that Jesus had, Jesus is inviting us into. He did not think of it, equality with God, as something to cling to. He gave up his divine privileges. What does it say here in John? It says, he stooped down, he laid aside his garments. He let go of all of his privileges and he served. He loved. He became a servant. This is the invitation that God has for each one of us. Royalty is our identity, but servanthood is our assignment. Royalty is who we are. We're sons and daughters of the living God. It's like this is our identity. And knowing our identity enables us to serve. I love this scripture. I love this scripture in John chapter 13, it says, having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them to the end. Then it says, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. Knowing that God the Father had given him everything, he had all authority. He could have called legions of angels. He could have zapped this and zapped that. He had all the power and the authority of God. Knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and it says that he had come from God and was going back to God. To me, that verse is such a key verse for identity. Such a key verse. Knowing who you are, where you've come from, and where you're going. Knowing that, okay, I'm going to stoop down. And I'm going to serve others. I'm going to love others. I'm going to love anybody, love the unlovable, because I know who I am. I know where I'm coming from, where I came from, where I'm going. It says he stooped down and he served them. He loved them until the end, until the end. I don't know about you, but I want to be known as someone who loved to the end. I loved to the end. You know, there's this verse in Acts chapter 13, verse 36. It says, David, when he served his generation, he fell asleep. Maybe that's what I want on my tombstone. Steve, he served his generation and he fell asleep. How awesome is that? I don't know about you, but I want to be known as someone who serves my generation. God has given you a mandate, and your mandate is to serve and love your generation right to the end, to complete it. Don't let your love run out. Don't let your love run out. Why does your love run out? Maybe because you're not receiving and remaining in God's love. The more that we receive God's love, the more that we understand how much we are loved and accepted and forgiven and full of His grace and His Spirit, the more that you understand that, the more that you're out to love others. You know, it's easy to love God in a worship service when the right song is there, the presence of God is there. But you know, that only lasts a short while before it leaks out. You have to go and collect more. You have to go and be in the presence of God more. John chapter 15 talks about remaining connected to the vine. It's only as we remain connected to Jesus that we're able to love others. So if you're finding it really difficult to love people or love others or even love your enemies, maybe it's because you're not connected to the vine. Maybe it's because you're not spending time in the love of God. Because the more that you spend time in the love of God, the more that you're able to love others. Understanding your identity enables you to love others well. When you know how much you are loved, you can always love others. You know, one of the biggest keys in life as a disciple is to pursue your own wholeness. And to the degree that you do is to the degree that you can love and serve others well. So the more whole you are in understanding God's love for you, the more effective as a disciple, the more effective as a servant, the more effective as a minister of the gospel you become. Because you understand how much you're loved, how much God has done for you. So important, so important. Jesus knew where He'd come from, knew where He was going, and because of that, He was able to serve and love. Being secure in the Father's love. You know, insecurity weakens your love. When we're insecure as the people of God, when we're running around trying to get our sense of worth and value by titles or what we do, we become insecure and weak in our love, and we're no longer able to serve and love others because we're always worried about trying to get our identity. We're always trying to figure out, who am I? I need to, you know, grasp for my, you know, my sense of identity from things or titles or doing stuff. Instead of realizing, I'm loved just because. A secure person loves well, promotes others, and is not insecure when someone else is better than them. This is really good. This is good preaching, I'm telling you. But when you see others promoted before you, when you see others who are similar to you, maybe a similar gift or whatever, and they're promoted before you, what happens inside of you? There it is. There's the insecurity. That's what you got to take to God and bring to God. It's so important. You know, a secure person loves when they see others promoted and others going for it. I love seeing my kids being promoted and going for it. I'm not jealous of them. I'm like, go for it. But sometimes God's inviting us to do that with all of the family of God. When we see others getting promoted or getting titles or doing something that we'd like to do. Hey, just be secure. Just be secure. You know, understanding your royalty as a son and daughter of God, as your identity, it propels you into your destiny. So, our sense of worth doesn't come from what we do. Our sense of security doesn't come from the title that we hold, the job that we have, the car that we drive, the house that we have, our career. That's not our sense of identity. Our sense of security comes from understanding how much God loves us. Comes from the fact that we are born again, we're filled with the Spirit of God. We're a part of the family of God. You're a child of God. You're forgiven. You're made righteous. You're holy. You're set apart. You are royalty. You are completely loved and you have a purpose. You're seen and you're known. You sit far above all principalities or powers. You're the head. You're not the tail. You're victorious. You're on the winning team. You're ruling. You're reigning with Christ. You have everything you need in Christ. All the fullness of Christ dwells in you. You have the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells in you. You have access to the Father in heaven. Your words have power. You can declare things into being. This is your identity. You know, all this is not only head knowledge, but it's our positional reality. This is our experience as believers, and we're invited to live in this reality. This is our truest sense of identity. When you get born again, you're a new creation. When you're filled with the Spirit, you have the greatest power on the planet resting in you. You've been accepted into the family of God. You've been invited to partner with God's agenda on the planet to bring and release kingdom. You're kingdom carriers, kingdom shapers. But all this is nothing without a servant heart. Without, ready? Humility. Teachability. Servanthood says, I'm going to let go of all my privileges as entitlement and love and serve others. You know, this what Jesus did, he laid aside his garments. This was totally scandalous and unthinkable for the disciples in that day. Only Gentile slaves did that and washed feet. Slaves were looked down upon in the ancient world. But here's Jesus, the one in whose hands the Father had given all authority, with those same hands, stoops down into the dust and washes the disciples' feet. He laid aside his divinity. He became one of us. You know that word servant? Part of the Greek meaning of that word servant means dust. Means dust. And that's what Jesus became. He became dust. He became like us, flesh and bone. He laid down his life. The ultimate act of servanthood and humility. He laid it down. How good are we at laying down our lives for others, serving others, loving others? This is what our God is like. He washes feet, even the feet of someone who's going to betray him. He washed Judas's feet. How amazing is that? What did Jesus say? You've heard it say, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, repay evil for evil. You know, if someone does something wrong to them, you got to get them back. Do we actually do that? Jesus said, love your enemies. Repay good to those who hurt you. I don't know about you, but I find that really hard. When I get hurt or someone does something bad to me, I'm like, all right, I'm going to get them back. Maybe that's just me. Is that just me? No. This is the pathway for discipleship. It's not optional. It's not optional. Jesus said in all of the Gospels, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. You have to take up your cross daily. Everybody say daily. Daily, you've got to take up your cross and follow me. You know, when Jesus called the disciples, he said, follow me. And they're like, yeah, I'm going to follow you. Where were they following him? They were following him to the cross, to a life of service, to a life of servanthood, to a life where you lay down your life. That's what following Jesus looks like. Taking up your cross, denying yourself. What does that look like? Servanthood, washing someone else's feet, taking time to love someone else's story, their narrative, their point of view. There's this ego, this selfish life that we all have. That's the sort of thing that we need to deny. You know, entitlement undermines your ability to love and serve others. Entitlement is this, the belief that one is inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment. And if we don't watch out, entitlement can creep into the church. It can creep into our own lives. It's like, I'm entitled to this. Entitled says, what's in it for me? What about me? What about my gift? What about my agenda? What about using my gift? Servanthood says, hey, I'm here to do whatever. I'm here to help. I'm here to wash someone's feet. What can I do to serve? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. This is loving people. You know, entitlement is about people serving me, acknowledging my gifts. Check out my gifts, my agenda. Entitlement is rooted in the self you've got to deny. Servanthood is about your attitude, your heart attitude to serve others. What's the cross you got to take up? It's not Jesus' cross, it's your cross. Everybody has a specific cross. What is the cross that you need to carry? Is this good? Is this doing good? Is this good for our soul? Is this helping someone tonight? I hope so. Did you learn to love? Love is the key. Love is the beginning. Love is the end. Loving Jesus, loving others as you love yourself. And that could be the problem. A lot of times we don't love ourselves. Maybe we've got to get into the presence of God and realize, hang on, God's made me. There is a self that I need to love. There's a self I need to deny. But worship is actually about who you love. What captures your affections? So royalty is my identity and servanthood is my assignment. Don't confuse the two. Servanthood, we're called to be like Jesus and serve each other. Love and honor and respect each other. This is our mandate, is to serve the world, to love the world, to lay down our lives for others. This is this self-sacrificing love, this unconditional love. When we experience unconditional love, we're able to give away unconditional love to others and show others what Jesus is like, who Jesus is, what God is like. And this is what a relationship with Jesus is all about. It's all about love. It's all about love. Not a set of beliefs or principles, but just loving Jesus. And this love is powerful. It's tangible. It is fierce. It is jealous, this love. It goes much deeper than just a romantic or a friendship love. It's the agape love. And you know the reason that we love? In John it says, we love because he first loved us. Maybe that's what God's inviting us back into. This realignment of understanding how much we are loved. How much that God loves us without conditions. He absolutely, completely loves us. And maybe that's returning to our first love. We think sometimes first love is getting our priorities in order and we got to do this and, you know, this. But maybe returning back to your first love is actually returning back to the fact and the revelation of God's love for you and me. I don't know about you, but what I need is a love encounter with Jesus. I want to keep having these love encounters with Jesus where my heart is so burning and on fire with Jesus and I get so overwhelmed with the love of God that I can't help but share it. I can't help but serve and love others. You know, my kids are going to hate me. I've got two kids right now who have got partners. Yo. And you know when you're in love, you do crazy things, don't you? You do crazy things. I better not embarrass them. But all I'm saying is that, you know, when you fall in love with someone, I mean, when I was dating Ali, I lived 2 hours away from her. She lived in Perth, I lived in Bunbury. And I used to drive 2 hours to see her after work and then drive home the same night. Crazy. But you know, you do crazy things when you're in love with someone. Are you in love with Jesus? What crazy things are you doing for Jesus? I don't know about you, but the more and more I fall in love with Jesus, the more crazy I want to be. The more I just want to go and tell people about Jesus. I want to move to the other side of the planet and preach the gospel. I want to plant churches. I want to just serve others and love others. Why? Not because that's my identity, but because I'm in love with Jesus. When you're in love with Jesus, you just can't get enough of him. You just can't. You do crazy things. And I want to encourage you, church, fall in love with Jesus. Keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. And the more that you do that, the more crazy things you're going to do. Jesus came to serve. This is how the kingdom operates. This servant-hearted, crazy love. Jesus knew where he's come from, knew where he was going. Because of that, he laid aside all of his privileges, his dignity, his identity, and he served and he loved others. Why don't we get the worship team up here right now? You know, when I first got saved, I struggled with a lot of fear. And I remember I used to talk to my dad about this and he'd go, "Steve, that's awesome." And I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, but because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And we read that in Proverbs, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." But I had this unhealthy fear of God. And it was like, okay, God's up there and he's there with a big stick and I'm not sure if I'm fully forgiven. I'm not sure if I'm, you know, I'm fully loved. And it was until I had this encounter with the love of God that all that fear totally dissipated. Yes, I have a love and a reverence, a holy awe and a holy fear and reverence for God. But the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear has got to do with punishment. But perfect love casts out fear. Why don't we stand right now? I'm going to invite the team to do this song. And as they do this song tonight, I'm praying that you'll have a fresh love encounter with Jesus tonight. Do you remember when you first fell in love with Jesus? Do you remember when you first experienced the love and the forgiveness, that all of your sins had been washed away, that you were born again, that you'd been set free? Do you remember the first moment that you encountered Jesus? That's not meant to be just a one-off thing. God wants to you to encounter him again and again and again and again and again and again. And as you encounter him, as you have this love encounter with him, it's going to change you. It's going to transform you. It's going to enable you to serve others and love others well. And that's the invitation that God wants to have. God wants you to have this love encounter with him. That, you know, your identity doesn't come from titles or the things that you do or the job that you have or the promotion that you get or you don't get. Your identity comes from the fact that you are loved. You are absolutely, completely loved. And because of that, you can love others, you can serve others, you can wash others' feet. Lord, teach us how to love as you loved. Lord, teach us how to lay down our lives as you laid down your life. Lord, teach us to take up our cross each and every day. Teach us to deny ourselves, Lord, and serve you and love you. Lord, teach us to let go of our lives so we can find our lives in you. Teach us how to love, Lord. Let us have another fresh encounter with your love, Lord, with your grace. Lord, that might change us and transform us. Lord, I pray for each and every person here today, right now, for fresh encounters with you. Lord, we don't want to leave the same, Lord, but we want to have a fresh encounter with your love, Lord, that will let go of all of our stuff, all of our identity that we've put in things, all of our insecurities, Lord, and we just come back to you. We return back to the cross. Lord, we come and sit at your feet and we experience the fullness of your love and your grace. Lord, I pray that over each and every person here tonight. Come on, let's sing this song together. Lord, we're sorry for just going through the motions. Lord, we're sorry for fixing our identity on things or positions or titles, Lord. Teach us how to love, God. Teach us how to love like you love, Lord. We follow you. We take up our cross daily and we follow you, Lord. Teach us how to serve and love others, Lord. Lord, forgive us, Lord, for the times that we haven't loved, where we've been grasping for position and title and identity from other things, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll bring us back to the plumb line. Bring us back to that plumb line, Lord, that you first loved us, which enables us to love others, Lord. Let us sit in your love, your grace, your freedom, Lord, that you demonstrated what love looks like as you hung on the cross, that you gave it all away. You sacrificed yourself, Lord. You took off your divinity, you put on flesh, and you washed our feet. Lord, I pray for each and everyone here tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll teach us how to love and how to love well. Lord, that at the end of our lives, you will say to us, yes, you learned how to love. You learned how to serve. You laid down your life for your friends. Lord, I pray that every word that you'll seal up in our hearts, Lord, I pray that you'll realign our hearts right now, realign our minds right now, that things will drop off that are not from you, Lord. Lord, we want to be your disciple. Not only do we want to make disciples, but we want to be a disciple. Follow you. Lay down our lives for you, Jesus. Nothing else. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. By what? By the way that you love. I don't know about you, Pneuma Church, but I want to be known as a church that loves well. Man, have you been to that Pneuma Church? They love well. They love well. Man, they love each other. They love their community. They love their neighbor well. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. The way that you love. The way that you love. Hey, can we just close right now, but just by praying, by laying a hand on someone next to you? right now. Lord, I thank you for the person on my right, the person on my left. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in their hearts right now. Lord, I thank you that you are working, that you are moving, Lord, that things that are not of you are dropping away. Lord, that you're realigning their hearts. Lord, I thank you that you have started a good work in the person next to me, and you will complete it until the day of Christ. Lord, I thank you that you are teaching them how to love, how to lay down their lives daily for each other. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.